Chapter 8. Now we went to Aristide Leonidi's part of the house, where a servant opened the door and led us into a big drawing room. Although it was the same size as Philip and Magda's drawing room, this room looked very different. It had bright sofas and luxurious curtains, and on the wall was a painting of a little old man. He had sharp but kind-looking dark eyes and crooked shoulders. He looked powerful and full of life.
"That's Aristide Leonidi's," said Taverner. "He certainly had a strong personality."
"Yes," I agreed, looking at the painting and the little man's lively dark eyes. Now I understood why Edith de Havilland thought that the house seemed empty without him.
"There's a painting of his first wife over there," said Taverner.
I looked at the picture of a typical English country lady. Her face was handsome, but rather dull and lifeless, not like her husband's face. Just then, the door opened and Aristide Leonidi's second wife came into the room. Brenda Leonidi's was quite pretty. She had brown hair and was wearing a black dress and lots of expensive jewellery. She moved easily and lazily, like a cat. I noticed that though she wore makeup, she had obviously been crying. I also noticed that she looked frightened.
"Good morning, Mrs. Leonidi's," said Taverner. "I'm sorry to disturb you again. You do understand, don't you, that you can have your lawyer here if you want?"
I wondered if she understood what these words meant. Apparently not.
"I don't like Mr. Gateskill," said Brenda Leonidi's, sitting down on the sofa. "I don't want him here."
"We'll start then," said Taverner.
"Have you found out anything?"
she asked, her hands twisting nervously.
Yes, said Taverner. "Your husband definitely died from Esserine poisoning."
"You mean those eye drops killed him?"
"That's right. You injected Mr. Leonidi's with Esserine, not insulin."
"But I didn't know that," exclaimed Brenda. "I didn't have anything to do with it."
"Then somebody must have deliberately replaced the insulin with the eye drops."
"It must have been an accident, or one of the servants," said Brenda.
"We've interviewed the servants," said Taverner, "and we don't suspect any of them. Have you any other ideas, Mrs. Leonidi's?"
She stared at him.
"I've no idea at all," she said.
"You said you were at the cinema that afternoon."
"Yes, I came in at 6:30. I gave my husband his injection, as usual, and then he became ill. I was terrified. I rushed to find Roger. I've told you all this before."
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Leonidi's," said Taverner. "Now, can I speak to Mr. Brown?"
"Sir Lawrence? Why? He doesn't know anything about it."
"I still want to speak to him."
She stared at the chief inspector suspiciously.
"Lawrence is in the schoolroom, teaching Eustace."
Taverner and I left the room and walked down the corridor to a large room overlooking the garden. Inside, a fair-haired young man of about 30 was sitting at a table with a handsome, dark boy of 16. They looked up as we came in. Sophia's brother Eustace looked at me, while Lawrence Brown stared at Chief Inspector Taverner.
"Good morning, Inspector," he said, looking very frightened.
"Good morning."
Taverner was abrupt.
"Can I have a word with you?"
"Yes, of course," said Lawrence Brown.
Eustace stood up.
"Do you want me to go away?"
he said. His voice was pleasant, but slightly arrogant.
We can continue your lesson later,"
said his teacher, and Eustace walked stiffly out through the door and shut it behind him.
"Well, Mr. Brown," said Taverner, "I can confirm that Mr. Leonidi's died of Esserine poisoning, which was injected instead of insulin."
I can't believe it. It's incredible."
"Would you like your lawyer here?" asked Taverner.
"I don't have a lawyer," said Lawrence Brown. "And I don't want one. I have nothing to hide. I'm innocent. Innocent."
"I have not suggested anything else," Taverner paused.
"Mrs. Leonidi's was a lot younger than her husband, wasn't she?"
I I suppose so. I mean, well, yes.
She must have felt lonely sometimes.
Lawrence Brown did not answer.
She must have liked having a friend near her own age living here.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know.
It would be natural that you two should have become more than friends.
We did not, insisted the young man. I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. Mrs. Leonides was always very kind to me, and I respect her, but nothing more. And I wouldn't kill anybody. I'm very sensitive, and I'm not very strong. I object to killing. I wouldn't fight in the war. They let me teach instead. And I've done my best here with Eustace and Josephine. She's a very intelligent child, but difficult. Everybody has been very kind to me. And now this awful thing happens, and you suspect me. Me, of murder.
Chief Inspector Taverner looked at him closely.
I haven't said that, he remarked.
But you think so. They all think so. They look at me. I can't go on talking to you. I'm not well.
He hurried out of the room.
He's really scared, said Taverner. But that doesn't prove anything. Is he a murderer?
I don't know if he'd have the courage, I said.
This murder didn't need courage, said the chief inspector. All he had to do was switch two bottles. Then he could marry a very rich woman. It's a shame that the servants haven't seen anything going on between them.
He sighed.
But it's all theory, he admitted. It's more likely to be the wife, Brenda. Though, why didn't she throw away the insulin bottle or wash it?
He looked at me.
Go back and talk to her, Charles. I'd like to know what you think.